broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And on this program, truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. So, walk on. Walk on together as we together, as we together just try to make it through another night in the life of America. And on this program, of course, we, as I mentioned, we go places other talk shows cannot go. And we're going to a place probably other talk shows can't go, and that's called going to a place on your talk show when you've been racing from the west side of Los Angeles to get to the studio, and you have not had time to prep your guests. Now, my information that I'm getting from Bud Dickman is the guest that we had...
Dr. Bornstein is not going to be available, and then we went with Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, we got Bobby Dooley. He's going to talk about food stamps.
Bobby Dooley is going to talk about food stamps?
Yeah.
In what sense?
We don't know what you mean.
What do you mean, in what sense?
What is she going to talk about?
Food stamps.
Right, but she's a woman living in a gated community in a home that's probably assessed, well, I don't know, these days with real estate being what it is, it's probably in the high six figures, and she wants to be on food stamps.
Yeah, well, she said that was her idea.
All right, well, we'll talk with Bobby Dooley. Is her husband going to be on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She never goes anywhere without him.
Well, I guessed as much, but I thought I'd just... So Bobby and Steve Dooley will be joining us here in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we invite you to visit our website, philhenryshow.com, if you need an affiliate. If you need an over-the-air radio affiliate, you'll find our local affiliate near you. And when I say near you, somewhere within 1,000 miles of you, 2,000 miles of you, it'll be close, believe me. Get an antenna and
coat hanger.
A coat hanger. And anyway, so check out our affiliate list. Also, you can join us here on our live webcast each and every evening here on Phil TV in HD at philhenryshow.com. So getting on the line here from the city of Western Estates, California, Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us. Bobby, good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil.
And Mr. Dooley, how are you, sir?
I'm really good. And going on late notice.
All right. Well, you guys are on at late notice, but today the United States learned that its credit with the rest of the world is not as high as it has been traditionally. Now, I haven't had a real chance to look into this, but they say this is the first time that our credit rating worldwide has been downgraded. It is a double A plus. I'm sure that sounds fine to some people, but it's still not what it ought to be.
That is, I think that's the fairest way to look at this. There's no question that the country is in trouble, and I don't mean in trouble in the sense that our imminent security is threatened, but we are... I worry about my family. We have looked into food stamps.
All right. Now, that's what I wanted to ask about. What do you mean? Why are you looking into food stamps?
Well, we're looking into food stamps, Phil, because the country's credit rating has been downgraded because we could be in for a double-dip recession.
Yeah, we had a recession, Mr. Henry, but it ended.
I'm aware of that, sir.
Yeah, so it's got to be double-dip.
And as Steve said, if it is a double-dip recession, then that means that whatever gains businesses have made in terms of employment, then they lose those gains. Now, in the case of my husband, who is the bread earner in our family, he has the contract for everything that's done here at Western Estates. But if it gets to be too expensive, then I literally have to fire my own husband.
Yeah, because of the fact that I got the contract for the plants and everything.
You have the contract, which is a very... Pardon me for saying this, is a rather cozy deal for your family, you know.
No, there's everything was above board, Phil.
No, everything was above board.
Everything was above board.
All right, so everything is above board, however, if we have this recession...
It would be a double dip.
Yeah, we'll go double dip in.
Okay, yeah, I know it's a double dip recession, which really gets a lot of people panicked because they think, we were just out of the recession, and we're going to go back into another recession. Why do you feel that, Ms. Dooley, this lowering of the U.S. credit rating would ensure or would be, make more likely a double-dip recession?
Well, because the country obviously cannot get the credit that it needs to purchase what it needs. And so that means that, I don't know, Steve.
Well, you won't be able to get the thing you got to get, you know, and that means that you can't support all the others. So it'll, you know, has a ripple effect.
Has a ripple effect. All right, I can pretty much tell you myself that if we have a lowered credit rating internationally, that means we do have to tighten up. You no longer can fool yourself into thinking, oh, well, I have this AAA credit, so my credit's good. If your credit is downgraded, then if you're an individual with a credit card, for instance, or an individual who is carrying a balance every month, you say, well, I cannot keep on borrowing. I'm a credit risk to other people. My credit is not that good. I have to stop, pay off what I owe, and get my credit back up.
Well, Phil, I think that's easy for you to say when you're a single man. But I have a family. And
well, you have a family that lives in Western Estates, California.
No, I know where we live, and I know what you're saying. You're saying that because we have the money that we have, we don't need food stamps. But you don't understand.
Let me think this through.
Please don't ever grab the phone from me, Steve. Phil, you know, Phil?
Yes.
Hold on.
No. The last three nights I've been holding on for people going off the phone and talking to someone. Now, what is the problem?
Don't ever take the phone from me again.
I'm sorry.
Don't ever do it again.
I'm sorry.
Steve grabbed the phone from me, Phil, and that is a major breach of trust. Which means he thinks that I'm going to sound stupid on the radio. And he knows as well as I do that in the overwhelming majority of cases, since I have been on your program, I have sounded more intelligent and far more articulate than Steve.
Sorry.
Okay, that's great for you to tell me. My audience doesn't care.
Well, I care, Phil, and I don't ever.
I think you've told him now. This will be the third or the fourth time. Don't ever grab the phone from you.
I know that, but it really shocked me.
That's right.
It really shocked me. Don't you ever put your paws on me.
You're my wife.
Don't put your paws on me when I'm on the phone.
All right. Can we have this domestic disagreement at some other time?
The point that I'm making is that you're saying the government has to tighten its belt.
Yes.
I am telling you, Phil, that I'm a mother and I'm a wife, and we have mouths to feed. And the government cannot afford to tighten its belt right now when it's possible that I'm going to have to fire my husband, and we are going to need government assistance.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this. And by the way, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You're going to have to fire your own husband because the Homeowners Association can't afford his price.
That is correct.
And if your husband isn't bringing home the money, then you got to go on food stamps.
Yes.
Do you literally have to go on food stamps?
Yes, we do, Phil. We will not have... I won't have the budget that I want for the kinds of dinners that we serve, the kinds of lunches that I prepare for the boys. And
you won't have the budget that you want, but you're going to have enough money to feed your family.
No, you may not. No, you don't understand. We do not have enough money to feed our family in the way that we want to feed our family, so we therefore have to have food stamps. Now,
all right, it doesn't make any sense for a family that is living in the in a big house like you do, with the income that your husband has, to go on food stamps. You guys don't need food stamps. There are poor families out there that need food stamps, okay? And
well, I am telling you, Phil, that this is a new day, and that families like ours do need to go on assistance. We are going to need the help of the government the same way the government has been helping other people. And
you don't need assistance when you have the income that you have.
But if I have to fire my husband...
See, this is the thing that I think a lot of people cannot relate to, you firing your husband. If you got to fire your husband, it's because he costs too much. Why don't you... I want to talk to your husband. Why don't you lower your fee, Mr. Dooley?
Hold on. give you the phone.
Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here. Just give me the phone.
I will give you the phone when I'm ready to give you the phone. Okay, here.
Is there anything?
I don't trust him with it, Phil.
Will you let him answer this question? I want to know why he won't lower his fee so that your family, so that he can continue to bring a salary home and continue to work for the Homeowners Association that you were the president of.
I'll give you the phone.
Give him the phone, please.
I can't lower my fee. If I lower my fee, then we lower our standard of living. If we lower our standard of living, my wife will... I'll be more affordable, but I won't be able to do the work that I did.
If he lowers his fee, then his work becomes less. The Homeowners Association suffers, and while he doesn't get fired, I become very disappointed in him in a personal sense. And that means that he's either fired or divorced, but I am not going to live in a home with a husband who is unemployed without food stamps.
And your husband's going to be unemployed only if you fire him.
But I'll have to fire him if he doesn't lower his fee.
But you won't let me lower my fee.
But I won't let him lower his fee, no.
877-876-PHIL. Do you think that people who are middle-income people, should they be on food stamps? I think is essentially the question as we talk about what the effect of America's losing its AAA credit rating means. It may not mean a whole hell of a lot. It probably means something really good. And that means that, oh, wow, my credit is not sterling. I better not borrow any more money. It's not brain surgery. It's not brain surgery. In my life, in your life, we've all had problems with credit from one time to the next. Perhaps. Some of you have been very, very good at maintaining a very high. But I've had that problem. And I've had to rehabilitate my credit, which I've done. And when that rehabilitation takes place, then you are once again on the, you're on the love list, and people are offering you all kinds of marvelous credit cards and things, which of course you'd be crazy to take because you got into trouble the first time taking all of that stuff. Now that's how that works. But given the fact the United States government is serving a country of people that aren't really all that interested in whether or not the U.S. has a good credit reputation with other countries because they don't understand it and because they think public assistance. This is where we are. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley. David G. Hall will be checking in, or I believe Harvey Wireman too, in just a few minutes here. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Right. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. We've got Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us from Western Estates, California. We've got Larry Grover is going to be joining us in just a moment, I believe, from Culver City. And perhaps later in the hour, we have Harvey Wireman to wrap up at least this portion of the discussion that we probably, this morning I never anticipated having this discussion with you. Just to give you an idea, this is very interesting. July payrolls rise soothes recession fears. And so the country, if you will, awoke to news that the unemployment rate dipped a tenth of a point. And for some people, that was something that they took as a good piece of news. Ms. Dooley, we were talking with you about this food stamp situation. I'm not sure that it's any clearer now than it was when we went to the break. Because you're saying...
Let me make this as clear as I can.
You're saying that you'd have to fire your husband if he charges too much. That means he doesn't have an income.
That is correct.
And you have to go on food stamps.
That is correct. Now, I don't know that food stamps were ever intended for... simply for people that are black or Hispanic. I think... that food stamps are intended for everyone. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out.
What kind of a question is that? What do you mean food stamps were intended for people that are black or Hispanic but not white? Why do you say that?
Mr. Hendry, I don't need to be spoken to like I am one of your daughter's slut girlfriends.
I'm not talking to you like that at all. I'm saying to you, what makes you think that food stamps are...
The only people that I've ever seen with food stamps, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong.
They're black.
Say it again.
Back
people.
All right, let me get Larry Grover on the line here, and then we also have a caller to get to. 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover from Culver City, California. Wow, we got your... Larry, how are you doing?
I'm good, Phil. Sorry, I'm going to turn the TV down here. I've been listening with great interest to this woman that you've got on, Ms. Dooley. I can assure you that the food stamp program through the Department of Agriculture, Phil, is one that all people can apply for. And the sense that this woman only sees black people...
I did not say only. I said... Well, I...
Oh, I heard you say only.
I did, too.
Well, Mr. Everett, it's all about getting food stamps.
No, I understand that, but what I'm trying to determine here is the basis upon which you get food stamps. And you're saying you're going to apply for food stamps because what? Because you haven't seen any white people get food stamps.
That was my understanding. I did not mean to offend anyone.
Well, let me tell you something, Phil. Let me tell you something. The food stamp program is for everyone. However, having said that, it's not for people that have homes, I think you said, in the high six figures?
We have had it assessed, reappraised, I think. What's the word for it?
I don't know. I think it's assessed.
It's called appraised.
We've had it appraised.
At what?
We don't know the number yet, but I'm sure it's
probably about $100,000.
Oh, $100,000, my rear end. Your home is a multi-million dollar. Your home, I know, was at least $2 million at the height of the good times. And that is previous to the recession and during the boom times there, the late 90s. Here is Jamie on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Food stamps. I don't think so. I say give her food stamps and let her show up at a grocery store with them. There's not a chance that that woman will ever show up at a grocery store with food stamps. Miss Pretentious.
Are you? Can I ask the gentleman, are you gay?
Not a chance. I'm actually at the door.
Well, when you said Miss Pretentious, it sounded a little... It sounded fake.
All right.
Well, no, it sounded homoerotic.
What has that got to do with what we're talking about?
Yeah, what is it going to do?
See, what you do, Ms. Dooley, is you're trying to put this man at a...
Well, the way the man talks, fabulous home.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fabulous. Dude, I live in a cracker box.
Everybody else, I'm sure you do.
I'm making ends.
You're making what?
I'm making ends meet. At about 2,000 square
foot. Oh, you've been on unemployment and everything. Haven't you been on unemployment? You've been on unemployment.
I have never, not one day ever, ended up on unemployment. I went up without a job for 6 months, not even implied for unemployment.
What about welfare?
Never.
Well, this man
welfare.
Just said he's never applied.
You've never been on welfare?
Not a day.
Did you ever get taxed?
What do you mean? The IRS is what the IRS. They're not giving anybody any relief.
I'm saying that everyone needs help. In this environment, everyone needs help.
Hey, that's true.
And I will. And I can tell you this. I am going to get the help that my family needs. I'm not going to allow my family to be pushed to the back of the line because someone's opinion of them is not quite, what mine is.
All right, but if you go to the government...
I beg your pardon, and don't call me messy.
I don't think you're doing without.
Don't call me messy.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, you don't know me.
Yeah, well, are you eating every night?
Well, you know something, Phil? I'm tired of this bag.
Okay, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. That's enough of that.
Enough of what?
Calling him the F word.
My grocery bill is about $70 a week. I bet yours is probably, I don't know, a lot more.
Well, you don't know. And the fact is, the country is going to be in a much, much more difficult. I can't talk to a man that's in the closet.
All right, Jamie, thank you. I apologize. I apologize for the insult. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Good God.
I can't talk to a closeted man.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What?
I'm not accustomed to being spoken to that way.
Ms. Dooley, and we're back with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Ms. Dooley, I don't, on this radio show, I'm not going to have people calling other people names, especially when they're the kind of derogatory term.
Phil, that man was calling me Missy. He was assuming that I had my own nose up my own R-E-C-T-U-M. Okay, so I won't be crude.
Yeah.
He was assuming...
That man, you called that man the F word, and he was reacting, I think...
I don't need this. Come, Steve. We're leaving.
She hung up.
Sound like it to me.
Yeah, that's what that usually sounds like.
Hey, let me tell you something. Don't be giving me the smart ass, okay? Did she hang up or not?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. You're all pissed off, man. That lady, you know, trying to do...
I don't like her calling up and calling people names. We still have Larry Grover, do we not? Let's get Larry Grover on the line here. Larry's with us from his home in Culver City. Larry, how are you?
Phil, I was looking forward to taking that woman apart at the joints, but I guess she hung the phone up, so I guess I'm on my own. I will tell you that the downgrade of America's credit rating today was an absolute blessing if the American people heed the call. Now, the call is this. Obama's policies are so absolutely ruinous and wrong that the country cannot afford four more years of his stimulus package, which did nothing for unemployment. And mother, can you turn the TV down, mother?
I got you.
I know you did. My mother got this Moo Cow Creamer as a prize. Did you get that?
I saw Bob Barker.
What happened?
I don't want to talk. You want to tell Mr. Henry?
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Miss. How are you doing, Miss Grover?
I saw Bob Barker today, and I won a prize.
She won the prize. I'll take the phone. She won a Moo Cow Creamer, so every time, pour the cream in the coffee so Mr. Henry can hear it.
See?
That's really fun, you know?
Yeah, it's nice. She pours the cream in her coffee, and here, I'll do it again. And
don't waste the cream.
I just want to do it one time. Why can't I get to do it? I just want to do it one time.
Don't waste the cream. Missile?
I hate...
Phil, I kid him. I call him Missile. You know why? Because he wasn't circumcised at first.
And yeah, I know, but that's not a thing to call your son on the radio.
Oh, I didn't know we were... All right.
I'm on the radio right now.
I didn't know.
I wanted to pour the milk. Here.
Just don't waste the cream, you bastard.
Wasting the cream.
What is it tonight, man? I got Bobby and Steve Dooley having a fight. You're fighting with your mother, okay?
I wanted to pour the cream in a coffee, just like this.
Do it again. You do it again, and I'll stick you.
You're gonna cut me? Boy, that's a good fight.
What is going on there?
I told him don't waste the cream, and he did. He does it one more time, I'll cut him.
You're gonna cut me? I'll cut you. You know, Phil, I apologize to you now. And
why can't I have a normal... Hold on. Put him on hold. Everybody on hold. Why can't I have a normal night of guests? What is with the domestic problems?
I don't know, man. The man called up and said he wanted to be on the radio. He said, if Phil's talking about that, I said, yeah. I said then until you hold on, he's talking to Miss Dooley. He said, I don't mind. I'll go on there, too. I said, all right. I'll put you on Miss Dooley, but I can't guarantee you're going to go good. You know, and so I put him up, and you saw. Now a man comes on after Miss Dooley hang up. I didn't know his mother was there. I sure as hell didn't know his mother didn't know it on the radio. Okay? I mean, that's the God honest truth.
You need to screen these people better. You need to tell them to turn the radio down. You need to tell them to turn down television sets. And when it comes to Steve Grover, you know, you ought to know his mother's always hanging around, calling him missile.
Yeah, that's on account he ain't circumcised.
I know why she does it. Sorry. All right, Larry, I apologize. Let's just get back to the facts, okay?
That's all I want to do. I'm not here, Phil, to make your job tougher. I'm here to make your job easier. And if making your job... Oh, she's not in the room. Here goes.
Lousy lion.
Put him on hold again.
No, they're okay.
Put him on hold again. I want Mr. Grover. Get him, Robert.
Yeah, I'm doing all that. Hello. Yeah, Phil just want to talk to you. He just want to talk to you. Don't want to talk to you and your mom. Get her out of there. I know the reason why she's pissed off because you're using a moo cow.
Yeah, tell him not to use the moo cow creamer.
Don't use the moo cow creamer. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's all right now.
Larry.
Yes, sir.
Get your mother out of the room.
She's gone. She's gone. She's off. She's taking her bubble bath.
Isn't that nice? Don't fool around with the moo cow creamer.
All right. I mean, I felt I had the right. I had it just as much right as anybody else to play with that moo cow creamer. You know, Mr. Henry, we often talk about freedoms, and we like to be very large and almost operatic when we talk about America's freedoms. All I wanted to do was...
Oh, what, are you going to start crying? Is that what you're doing?
I just wanted to pour the milk.
Well, you got to do it 3 times by my count.
I did it twice.
All right, twice. Turn the TV down, would you please? Can we get this together here?
Sorry. I'm watching Discovery Channel. There's a thing on here about the harp seals and how the Canadians beat their brains in. Boy, how do you... You know, I'm not even an environmentalist, but those Canadians, boy, they're the scum of the earth, aren't they? The way they bash in the brains of those harp seals. Anyway...
I don't know anything about it. Well, you...
You should get, you know, you ought to pull that mic pot down a little bit faster, too.
Why? Because it sounds like this. All right, all right. I understand.
All right. So...
Don't tell me how to run this board.
I'm just trying to tell you how it sounds on the playback, man. Somebody's going to hear this in the podcast. They're going to wonder, wow, what's going on there?
All right, back to the argument that we're making here concerning the downgrading of America's credit. And we are going to have, Harvey Wireman on a little bit later on. You were making a point here, and you were making a point about Obama's policies, and you were basically, you know, talking the partisan line.
I'm the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, so yes, I think I'm going to talk a partisan line. If you want someone that doesn't talk a partisan line, I'd be more than happy to yield the floor, Phil, and you can find someone who is more egalitarian, if you will, in their application of political principles. But I, Larry Grover, of Conservatives of Kern County, I'm telling you, all right, you don't want to talk about Obama, we don't have to talk about Obama, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Here is the cold, hard facts. This downgrading of America's credit was a good thing because it means that the United States of America is going to have to take a look at its accounts, and it's going to say, well, we better pay some stuff off and get our credit rating back up. So no more running the bill up on the credit card. Now, if the bill keeps on running up on the credit card, then we have a political crisis on our hands because that means we've got people in Congress who are so stupid, and I realize they're stupid, but I didn't know they were this stupid, who are so stupid that they're going to keep running the bill up even though our credit's going down the crapper. And I won't have it!
What?
Just got me excited, that's all.
You have to scream, God. And I can hear that TV.
I'm sorry, Mother. No. No, Mother, you're not allowed in here. Mr. Henry.
He don't run my house. Let me know. That doesn't make me get down on my knees.
Well, you can't come near my phone, so don't touch it. Don't touch my phone and don't touch, you know.
Touch what?
Anyway, Phil.
Touch what?
You know, if you don't get it under control, I'm hanging up on your ass, and I'm going to bring on guest number 4, which would be Harvey Wireman.
Hang up on my ass. Tell Mother that.
Mrs. Grover, okay?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay, Mrs. Grover, I need for you to leave your son alone.
He's just fooling around.
She's pouring that moo cow creamer trying to piss me off because she won't let me.
I tell you what, why don't you go get your own, and you can pour your moo cow creamer till the cows come home. How about that?
Not a bad idea.
I got the present, Mr. Barker.
Yeah, they sell them at Costco.
You go out and get yourself a moo cow creamer that they sell at Costco, and it's all good, man. How about that? That way we don't have to worry about this asinine discussion we're having. All right, we are talking about the credit rating. Now, you're making some sense here, Larry.
Well, how about that? I'm making some sense. There, no, you don't. I'll do mine. Yeah, I did mine.
Don't do yours. I'm doing mine.
I'm going to do mine.
Will you get away from the moo cow creamer?
Boy, that's too bad.
Sorry, Ms. Grover, but yes.
All right, well, what I was telling you is this, Phil. The political crisis, the political process here in the United States is failing. This is a frightening thing because the entrenchment of ideology has come from the following. The Republicans, during their time in office under President Bush, found it necessary to raise revenues, found it necessary to spend a lot of money, got into some heavy deficit spending. And the deficit spending, of course, was very noticeable and became quite a social sticking point in terms of the politics. Now, the Republicans came out of the Bush years saying, we didn't want to spend all that money. We didn't want to spend all that money on that TARP. We didn't want to spend all that money on any other kind of stimulus. We didn't want to spend any money on that much money on a war. So the Republicans suddenly washed their hands of the whole thing and said that wasn't really us. That was a weird kind of Republican party. Now we're the real Republicans, and we're going to show everybody just how badass we are. In the meantime, the Democrats, who had been sick of George Bush for 8 years, blamed him for every problem there was, even blamed him for 9/11, blamed him for Al-Qaeda, blamed him for Osama bin Laden, blamed him for everything. The Democrats decided they wanted to make their stamp in this world and prove to everybody what liberals they were and what progressives they were and how they could take in the reins of government and adjust. They didn't do it. But everyone is entrenched politically. And this is the crisis. Because in order to prove a point, the Democrats and the Republicans are willing to let the country fail.
I don't think that's the case. That wasn't the case with the debt ceiling vote.
The debt ceiling vote was one of those votes that could be taken by the Tea Party people or by the progressives, and they could say to their constituents, you know what, we were trying to appease our party leaders. We were trying to play ball. We're trying to be good guys. Because obviously this is not the time to make that stand. Now, however, the clarion call has been heard. The people of this country have been told in no uncertain terms, your credit sucks. And the Tea Party people are going to be all over that like white on rice. Don't even worry about it. And they'll say, and rightfully so, you can't spend any more money. You got to pay the bills because now our standing internationally is at risk. The liberals are going to say the following thing. The reason why we're in this mess is because of all the wars that we fought. The reason why we're in this mess is because of all of the banker help that we got. We got to stop helping, fighting wars and stop helping bankers, but keep on spending socially. And they don't recognize the danger of entitlements such as Social Security and Medicare. So the Democrats are equally stupid. They will fight for their social programs until America is no more, and the Tea Party will do the same thing with their fiscal policy.
The Tea Party and the progressives, in my opinion, don't know what the end of America looks like. I don't think they see that as an even remote possibility, okay?
Well, they better start, because for the first time in history, America's credit is no longer any good. That means you can't spend any more money. But the liberals are so stupid, they're going to try it anyway. And the Tea Party people are so stupid that they don't recognize that you cannot all at once take all of this stuff away without a resulting social impact. God!
Larry, you need to calm down.
Calm down, Larry.
Don't tell me to calm down when you won't allow me to use the moo cow creamer. There, I'm going to use the moo cow creamer.
God, forgive me for what I'm going to do.
What did you do?
Cut him.
You cut him?
stabbed him with a penknife in the ass.
Ow!
Jabbed your own son with a penknife in the ass.
Penknife, not penknife. But I made the same mistake you made.
Right. Penknife. Okay, that was immature and...
Ow! I believe it hurt.
That was immature. Mr. Grover just laid out the do's and the don'ts. He just said what it's all about, in his opinion. There's no more room for any kind of fooling around. There's no more explaining to be done. There's no more blaming of Bush. There's no more blaming of Obama. There's no more blaming of any ideology. There's no more of that because things have got to get done now of such a critical value that there is no more time to talk about it. So if your credit is lousy, the first thing you do is you start paying the bills and getting your credit back up to where it ought to be. If you don't mind having crap credit, then you keep on running the bills up until your credit gets lowered again, until finally we're like Greece, which is junk bond status. Greece is garbage. Their credit is in the garbage pile. That's where ours is going. If you keep on spending, you keep on spending. Now, that's just the facts, Jack. As far as the conservatives go, I think he also made a very good point. The Tea Party guys, those guys believe that we can just start to tear away at a very long-standing social political structure and do it like that, and it won't have a resulting social impact. You're going to have to be prepared for what that's going to mean to people. And I don't think they think about that. I don't think Tea Party people think about that. All right, number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show coming back. Harvey Wireman joins us. Maybe we could get some calm and calm thinking here. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil
Radio
Henry Show.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Ow!
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Larry Grover is with us in Culver City, California tonight in San Francisco. Joining us is Harvey Wireman, an attorney at law and a longtime contributor on our show. And for Harvey, this day's activities... probably harken back to, Harvey, maybe the days of the Great Society when Lyndon Johnson was president.
Yeah, I want to tell you something. Well, when Lyndon Johnson was president of the United States and we had these social programs that he wanted to affect, we had money. The United States had money. We don't have any money right now.
You said it right, sir.
Now, why don't you just shut up for a minute?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, who is it?
Larry, let him say what he wants to say.
No, is he talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. I've been listening to you, talking to your elderly mother, and she cut me.
You've got to do worse than that, I'll tell you that right now.
All right, okay, enough. Go ahead.
Who's watching the Discovery Channel?
I am.
Turn it down. Now, the thing I wanted to mention to you, Phil, and I'll get off the phone because I can't take much more of this. All day long I've been talking to people. There was money in the country back in the 1960s. We don't have that money anymore. We don't have that money anymore. So, yes, there has to be action concerning the cutting of entitlements. But when they... Hold on for a minute. What is that? Get it off of me, will you, please? Yeah, get it off of me. Phil, I'm in San Francisco with my daughter and my grandson. And get him off of me, will you? I got my grandson who's hanging around me all day long. It's all right. Grandpa's going to... I'll be with you in a minute. Get him off. My grandson's hugging my leg.
All right. Well, can your daughter...
Yeah, honey, get it off me.
Get it off me! The kid... Get it off! Get it off!
Good God!
What are you running there, Henry, anyway?
I don't know. Is he there?
No, he hung up.
You know something? This is the screwiest night that I... Will you turn that TV down, please?
Sorry.
This is the weirdest night. I got Harvey Weirman on the phone in San Francisco. His grandson is hugging his leg. And the next thing, it sounds like he's got some space leech attached to him.
Send it that way to me, Phil, I'll tell you.
Can you get him back on the line?
I'm going to try right now. I'm trying his cell phone. I'm trying his daughter's cell phone. At the lobby there at the Hyatt Regency.
At the Hyatt Regency. Well, get him on. We're in the lobby?
Yeah, the bar.
Well, call him back. All right, Larry, so you heard Harvey said that there was money at one time.
Well, he's right. There was money at one time. Lyndon Johnson had the money. The country was coming out of a massive expansion, and so we could put money into social programs, but we can't do that any longer. What is that? I'm listening to that garbage that you played.
That's our bumper music. Thanks a lot. Larry Grover, Harvey Weirman, Bobby and Steve Dooley. And Mrs. Grover, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, will continue our discussion of not just the issue having to do with, of course, of the downgrading of credit, but other news. We'll be right
Phil
back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about here from the El Pacifico as we broadcast to you each and every evening. Now, number one, our producer, our brother Jason Rance is not with us this evening. He had some minor surgery. I just got a text from him. He says he's groggy, but he's doing fine. So that's good to know, bud, huh?
Yeah. Did he have his butt operated on? Or was it...
Shut up. I don't know what he had operated on. Did he have his butt operated on?
What was it?
I don't know, man. It was some minor surgery, okay? I don't know. You're a real jackass, you know that?
I don't know.
Yeah, you didn't know.
Yeah, but neither do you.
But I'm the host of the show. I'm the guy that gets to say I don't know. You guys don't. Anyway, welcome back to our program. This hour, we're going to talk about a story that... at first blush, may not mean much to anybody, but it certainly means a lot to one of our guests, two of our guests, actually, this hour, Chris Norton. Chris is a young pharmaceutical salesman from Redondo Beach, California. He's also involved with his own company in the adult film business. And we also have Dr. Jim Sandler joining us from San Diego this evening. I want to say good evening to both of these gentlemen. And Chris, thank you for joining us. I know that you're at some sort of an industry function.
Yes, sir. Right now we're just celebrating the release of a DVD package that we're very excited about. And it was the one film that I, as you know, Mr. Henry, I'm just right now getting my feet wet in the adult film industry. But I was an actor in one of the films that we did last year. It was called Donkey Chris. And it was a kind of a cop film, kind of based on like that Dirk Diggler thing in Boogie Nights. You know?
Donkey Chris?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. On the line with me here is, as well, in San Diego, is Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
And what I wanted to talk to both of you gentlemen about, because you're coming at it from a different perspective, is a kind of an interesting story. And I know that you're in a nightclub, Chris, but if you can find an area...
I'll try and just get in here behind a... what do you want me to do? You want me to hide behind a plant or something?
Not hide behind a plant, but go someplace a little less noisy.
Okay.
What is the water that I hear?
Yeah, I heard that.
Sorry?
What is the water?
I'm soaking right now. I usually soak about 11 o'clock every night on the Western time.
It's called Pacific.
That's right, Pacific time. Excuse me.
You're soaking?
In a tub, and I'm soaking it.
Wow.
Okay, that's fine. I heard the water.
I'm splashing. I'm soaking. You know, enough said. I'm soaking. That's all that I think needs to be said.
I don't want to know any more about it.
Well, I'm not here to tell you the deep, dark secrets.
All right. I understand, Dr. Sadler, very, very well, sir. Thank you. Okay, the story is, and let me just grab it here from my printer, and it's an interesting story. The Humane Society of the United States is planning to take 100 feral Big Island donkeys and that would be the Big Island of Hawaii, on a chartered plane to Los Angeles next month. The donkeys will then be taken to two separate animal sanctuaries. Peaceful Valley Donkey Rescue in Tehachapi is going to receive the bulk of them, maybe 75 to 80, and Eagle Eye, which is in Northern California, will get maybe a dozen or so. The latest twist on curbing the population of wild donkeys is part of the massive effort that's been underway since last year. These animals will be sterilized, okay? They will be rendered sterile by the veterinarians of the Humane Society. Drought conditions have forced many of these animals from the highlands down into some of the village areas in search of water, but reports of donkeys appearing down by the highways and even near the school began to worry the community. The Humane Society of the U.S. teamed up with the veterinarian Brady Bergen, and these very hungry animals, they were easy to trap, and they will be sterilized. Bergen has sterilized 200 of the original herd of about 600. And Dr. Sadler, this concerns you, doesn't it?
It does concern me, Phil, and if I could just tell you, it sounds like you're in a nightclub with someone who's in it.
That is Chris Norton.
What?
No, that I'm just talking to Dr. Sadler.
Yeah, I'm waiting for someone to say something to me.
He's talking to me, but if you're in a, is that you in a nightclub?
Who am I speaking with?
All right, let me do this, okay?
This is Dr. Kim Sadler.
This is Dr. Sadler.
Okay.
And he's, I guess, are you distracted by the noise?
No, no, I'm not distracted. I just wanted, you know, someone was saying something about me soaking, and so I wanted to be equally understood that I hear a lot of music. That's all.
Well, I wasn't saying that you were, I wasn't saying anything about you being in a bathtub being a weird thing, you know.
Well, I know, but it sounded like that. But that was where you were going until Mr. Henry interceded. Phil, I am at this time.
I wasn't going nowhere.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you for clearing that up. Thank you. Dr. Sadler, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Phil. These wild donkeys on the Big Island of Hawaii are a point in study for those of us who are interested in the history of feral creatures, and that is animals that were at one time either a domesticated animal or otherwise in the captivity of humans, living with humans and trained to a degree in human behavior and serving as pets or as beasts of burden, etc. Now, these donkeys, it would appear, are the descendants of animals, these beasts of burden, these pack animals that were brought either by the Methodist missionaries in the middle of the 19th century or perhaps even earlier, by Captain James Cook. So they do represent, I think, a historical link to a period of time, and I believe we should appreciate them on that level. I agree with the sterilization program 100%, 150%. If you have, I agree with it 300%. But with this one proviso, that we have an appreciation for the historical link that these creatures provide us with. And
Can I jump in, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead, Chris Norton.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Yeah, but he said I could talk.
Go ahead. Jesus, go ahead.
All right, Dr. Sadler, you had a moment there. I'd like to give a little bit of time to Chris, and then we can have some discussion.
Bye.
Mr. Renner, I'm Chris Norton, and...
Yeah, I know you are. You're Chris, I'm Dr. Sadler.
Dr. Sadler, I'll handle it.
Oh. Boy, this is going to be a good one.
That being...
Okay, Dr. Sadler, I got it. Chris, just go ahead and launch into what you want to say.
Right. First of all, I don't know that this would be of any real significance for the people that are listening right now on the program, but here's the story for me. I have, you know, for whatever, for good or for bad, for better or for worse, I'm very good looking. I, you know, have always been very sassy. I've got into adult film. And Donkey and Wild Donk has always represented a positive image, a positive symbol of the adult film business. And to sterilize Donkey sends a wrong message, I think, to those of us in the adult film business that have used the term donkey. As I said, the one of the only movie I ever did in adult film, which I do hope someday do another one, was Donkey Chris and the squad of one. And,
sorry, I didn't hear that. The squad is squatting on one?
No, it's Donkey Chris and the squad of one. It's supposed to sound like squatting on one, yeah, but you don't say squatting on one.
No, I understand. I've seen the film, is why I'm saying that.
You have seen that?
You saw that movie?
Yes, I did. I was at a friend's bachelor party, and they were showing it, and I was, that's all I'm going to say. It was very unusual.
I mean, Mark, but that's going to leave a bad impression now. And
that's all I want to say. It was very unusual. Very exotic, very unusual.
Okay, I want people to know that I didn't do anything gay. And
I didn't say you did anything gay. I said the movie was very unusual. Okay, that's all I'm saying. I haven't said anything.
Pretty much given away because the movie's called Squad of One or Squad on One. You pretty much gave it away.
Well, I didn't give it away. You're the one that came on here.
This is not what we're talking about his movie. We're talking about the donkeys that are being moved from Hawaii.
Right.
I know, that's what I was trying to do.
Oh, I know, I just said that I saw your movie.
Saw my movie, and you said it was very unusual, and you pretty much gave it away with the squat line.
Well, I'm sorry I gave it away.
Get back to what you were saying, Chris. Donkeys being sterilized is significant how in the adult film business?
Well, I feel it's significant in that if a donkey is sterile and it's going to be castrated, and that right there has a real negative effect on the actors, and a lot of the male audience that comes to see adult film, because if you say, oh, and by the way, there's Donkey Chris in Squad of One, or Donkey Dave Dillon, who's another big adult film actor, or the Donkey Master.
Well, how many actors have used this term donkey in their name?
Quite a few. I mean, if you think about the connotation, it doesn't take a wild imagination. No, think about connotation, don't take imagination. And
it's got rhythm.
Thank you. And so, you try to be a smart ass there.
Let's not talk about each other. Let's talk to me.
Sorry.
Yes, I was.
You were.
All right, I'm going to take a break here and get them under control because I got the same problem with them that I had earlier, you know.
With what?
With the same problem I had with Larry and his mother and the same problem I had with Bobby and her husband. I don't know what's happening out there. I don't know if it's something in the air, something in the food, but people can't let it go. And these two guys are going at each other. And it all started out because this guy Sadler saw Norton's movie, Donkey Chris and the Squad of One.
Yeah, well, it's called Squad of One. Because
I know why it's called Squad of One. All right, chartered plans to take sterilized wild donkeys to sanctuary. That's what we're talking about with Chris Norton and with Dr. Jim Sadler. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. And this is a radio show that goes places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And, you know, we're going to do a little discussion of talk radio probably next hour with Bud and with Robert. But this hour I have with me, and if you don't mind, Mr. Norton, I'm going to put you on mute for just a second. And I have Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego this evening. We're going to talk to him, first of all, about, you know, the discovery of these animals and what you would like to have done with these creatures.
It's a very good question, Phil. First of all, these are animals that, as I said, represent a... represent a connection to the past. They represent a connection to the missionary work that was done in the South Pacific. And thank you. I've got a butler, Phil. His name is Terry, and that's who I was talking to. Just so you know.
All right.
It's not
anything that, you know, I realize it's very juvenile. I heard you first hour. There was someone who used the word, the F word, gay and all this. That's not, I don't want to.
Yeah, I'd rather not. You've got a butler, fine.
All right, you'll get pissed off. All right, so.
It's been a long night.
So the, but because I have a butler, it doesn't mean.
I know, it doesn't mean anything. And I don't, this is so stupid that we have to talk about that.
You call me stupid?
No, sir. No. Just forget it. You got a butler. He's in the bathroom there with you, handing you whatever.
He handed me a duck. Okay? A rubber duck. Sam, that's as weird as I am. That's as weird as it gets. I would like to, you know what, forget it. I'm draining the tub.
Look, Dr. Sandler.
No, really, I can tell by the sense, boys. I'm draining the tub. Get out of here, Terry. Get out of here, okay? I don't want anybody thinking I'm some kind of a freak. Okay, so these wild donkeys, Mr. Hendry, are animals that represent a connection. All I want to make sure of is the following, that the animals are handled with extra special care. Yes, I do recognize the need to sterilize these creatures because there is just... quite frankly, not enough room in this particular area of the Big Island that would enable them, these creatures, to find enough to eat, to be able to water themselves, and so on. They will be taken to a refuge, which I think is wonderful.
Because they're being sterilized, though, and you say they represent a connection to a time, 19th century, perhaps when the Methodist missionaries brought them over, etc., in sterilizing them, eventually they will be no more. Isn't that right?
Well, they're not. Not all of the animals have been taken off the island. So.
Oh, I see.
So yes. So there are some animals left. That this process will have to be repeated at some time. There doesn't seem to be any doubt. But I do think it's an opportunity for all of us here, school kids and so on, to see the donkey. What they, you know, the donkey that they brought over. And but sterilize these animals, they must. And to be honest with you, I have a quite different opinion of the relationship between the donkey and the adult porn business. And
all right, well, let me get Chris Norton back up on the line. Chris, are you there?
Super.
All right, what was your opinion there, Dr. Sadler?
Well, my opinion is that it seems like a very low... it seems like a very low pursuit to want to insist that these creatures not be sterilized so that anybody with the name Donkey Dan in the porn movies doesn't look like he's some sterilized ape, you know? And,
I mean, you have to understand, Dr. Sandler, if you cast Ray, and... if you cast Ray...
Who's he?
It's not a he. If you do this...
Castrate.
Oh, Jesus. Sir, I have allergies. You know, I can assure you, though.
You do a lot of dialogue in these movies because you're saying castrate, and I heard at one point there you said, let me explain.
Yes, sir, I have allergies, but I can assure you that, yeah, I do belong in an adult film. And
I have no doubt. I mean, they called you Donkey Chris. I saw your movie. I have no doubt. I'm just saying... Did you, you know, when you talk, you say you have sex. You know it's called sex, right?
Sir, that's exactly what I'm calling it. And
all right, let's get past this discussion of whether his sinuses are jammed up. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this gentleman is saying that castrate the donkey. I mean, yeah. And I'm just saying, from the standpoint of someone who's been in adult film, a person who has, I have appeared in exotic film, I have appeared in... You know, very exciting movies. I mean, the movies that I have done is exciting, but they're also exotic. You know,
I don't understand what you mean by exotic. Is that
exotic? Exotic.
God. All right, sue me. I don't understand what you're saying. Excuse me. Forgive me.
You're in a tub. You're sitting in a tub with a butler. I haven't said nothing.
Oh boy, a guy can't catch a break on this show, can he? I've done all the shows, okay?
Now, listen, what I'm saying...
No. I've done John and Ken, I did Rusty Humphries, I did Michael Savage. Nobody brought up the fact that I sat in a tub with a butler standing by. But now, this guy wants to make a point out of that.
You were making fun of his voice and so on. Let's just forget it.
Well, that's a good point.
You better believe it's a good point. God, man, you talk about how my... You know, I'm saying the words as good as... I'm saying the words right, okay?
You're saying the words right. Great.
So, Mr. Henry, in conclusion, what I would say is this. If the Humane Society of America would you shut up, man?
Who told me to shut up?
The tub is really loud.
The tub's loud?
Just go ahead, Chris. I muted him.
Thank you. I would say be very careful. If you're going to castrate a donkey, remember that there was Donkey Chris at Squad of One, Donkey Dave Dingle, the Donkey Express. That dude, man, he made more movies than Donkey Express. And the Donkey Express is a really good point. The Donkey Express still goes out and does signings, and he signs his movies. And
this guy's not acting anymore?
No, he retired. But he's known as the Donkey Express. And if you go castrate Donkey off of Hawaii, and he's over there doing a signing, I mean, give it up, you know. That's like, hi, I'm Donkey Express. Oh, yeah, 100 donkeys are getting castrated. So sort of symbolically, it's like, the, you know, somebody came in and just decided to gut or geld his career, you know.
All right, Dr. Sadler, we are going to take a break here, and I just wanted him...
I have never had anyone put me on mute before, and you just did. I've done 600 radio interviews, and I've always had people... Oh, man.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but your bathtub was loud. It was loud. All right, so we're talking here with Chris Norton and Dr. Jim Sadler about the sterilization of donkeys... from Hawaii. One of our guests is a doctor who studies the animal, and the other is an adult film actor whose nickname was Donkey Chris once. I'm sorry, but that's the best we could do this evening. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back in a moment.
Phil Hendry.
He's a butler, okay? Not a boyfriend, a butler.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. This is the Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, Monday through Friday. Coming up tomorrow night, of course, is our local show. And you can watch the video cast, our local KFI Los Angeles show. Watch the video cast at philhendryshow.com. You can watch the video cast right here. Dr. Jim Sadler is on the line with us. Sir, I apologize. I know that you are soaking in a tub. You don't have an injury or anything, do you?
No. I'm not injured. I was soaking. I'm sorry if the noise from the tub. I'm not here, you know, Phil. I'm a doctor.
I understand that, sir.
I'm not, you know, I don't think you do. I'm not here, so I'm not in a Turkish bath, okay? You understand that?
Yep, I know that, sir.
I'm not with anyone. I got a butler. Butler. B-U-T-L-E-R. Butler is what that is. And
hold on. Chris Norton, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And I mean, you're the guy you're going, I got a butler, you know. And
well, if you want to be a child about it. You know, I'm Mr. Hendry asked me on the program.
I know why he asked me on the program. He asked me to come on the program and talk about my adult film and donkey. You know, the Donkey Chris film. Now, with the castration of the donkey, Donk Dan.
Donk Dan. What is that?
Donk Dan was Donkey Express. Donk Dan. Two of the biggest, you know, I mean, literally and figuratively, biggest. Adult film stars there was, and I think with the.
All right, but the question that I have, because of the two of you, Dr. Sadler is eminently clearer in what he wants. I don't understand what it is with you and these donkeys being castrated that is such a negative on your career.
The negativity, Mr. Henry, is simply this: we in the adult film business. Here, I'm going to give you. Can I just play? Something from my movie.
I have one of your movies up here now. I've got Donkey Chris and Squad of One if you want to comment on that. Because I think this is a very interesting part of the... right here. And you can hear that, Phil.
Yeah, I can hear that.
This is perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sailor. This is perfect. This is from Donkey... You know, Donkey Chris, okay? And there was a cameo in here by Donkey Don. Donk Don, I mean. And
that's fine. It's a cameo by Donk Don. My question to you is, how did you get Keith Sweat and Return of the Mac into the movie?
That was not me. That was not me. That was just the producers.
As I'm looking here, okay, this is the scene. You know the movie, right?
Yeah, this is the scene where I get with the woman who owns the mule ride. And she runs a mule ride, Mr. Henry, for little kids, and Donkey Chris. And I'm like a private investigator. I come in and I get it on with the woman that runs the donkey ride.
The donkey ride for little kids.
There's no little kids in the movie. Okay.
Well, that's what I mean. He seduces some woman who runs a donkey ride for little teeny kids. There's no kids in the scene, but I think by inference, it's wrong. And
hold on for a minute. I just want to say, yeah, okay, fine, but guess what? You're taking all the donkeys and castrating them. You know.
You know what? I hate to say this, but if this is what you people put in your movies, I'm glad I'm castrating donkeys. Oh, God, I can't castrate enough of them.
You'd probably like to see you castrate the Donkey Express, too.
What? That's not a donkey. That's a man, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't want it to castrate the Donkey Express. I want the Donkey Express.
That's his name, okay? That's a stage name.
All right. I have no interest whatsoever in ruining your career, Mr. Norton, or anything like that. What I'm saying is I have an interest in saving these animals and also making the area of the feral... Oh, I can't even hear because he's playing this. Let me turn this down.
Wait, whoa. Don't turn it down, man. That's my movie.
I can't hear a thing with this screen.
How in the hell, Chris, does the sterilization of donkeys from Hawaii hurt your business? You have not told me.
I just don't want the impression that Donkey Express, Donkey Donk, Donk Dan, Donk, Donk Dave, Donk Dan, and Donkey Chris, somehow we've been neutralized or otherwise had our gears stripped, you know. I don't want no impression like that.
I can assure, ladies and gentlemen, anyone listening tonight, that Donkey Express, Donk Dan, Donk Don, and Donkey Chris, none of them have been castrated by the Humane Society of America.
Okay, that's all I'm asking.
You happy? Wow! Now, here, right here, this is filthy. And this is where the squat part comes in, Phil.
I don't want to know the particulars of the movie. I'm amazed with Dr. Sandler how you got this song in the movie.
I didn't do it.
Or, I mean, who was the guy that produced this film?
This film was produced by Jim Ragebo. Jim Ragebo is about my age. He's done a lot of producing. The Ragebo and Ragebo Comics. Have you heard of Ragebo Comics?
Yeah, I have heard of Ragebo Comics. I read them.
Well, I mean, Jim invented the character of Lucifer.
No kidding. I like that.
Yeah, and Jim does adult films. And...
Well, I don't know anything about Jim Ragebo.
Well, the comics are Orion. The character of Lucifer and Marie. Lucifer and Marie, great.
All right, guys, I think we've got this
Hold on. This is another good part here.
Yeah, there it is. See, she's doing a deep knee bend.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Turn that off, please. Dr. Sandler, turn that... Thank you very much, sir. I don't want to listen to that. I don't have the time, and to be honest with you, it's beside the point here, okay? Chris, I appreciate you very much joining us tonight. I hope that the castration of donkeys in Hawaii does not have a negative effect on, the adult film business.
Well, I'm hopeful too, Mr. Henry.
And Dr. Sandler, thank you for joining us after a very rough day. I know you were...
Well, you know, I soak around 11 o'clock. That's why I just want to let you know that if I'm going to be... I should have told you, but I generally like to soak, you know.
You already said that you like to soak. I mean, how many times do I say that?
As many times as Mr. Henry, not you, but Mr. Henry asked me about why I'm soaking.
I mean, you like to soak. What does that mean, you like to soak?
What do you think it means?
I mean, I could think that it means lube up, you know.
What? You know something? I would kick you.
All right. Why would you say that? Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on the program this evening.
I'm just saying, I don't want to be in the soak.
It means to sit in a tub and soak, not lube up.
All right. I mean...
You know what? Thanks very much. What a stupid interview.
I got everybody you want me to get.
you didn't get everybody I wanted you to get. I wanted a veterinarian. We got Dr. Jim Sandler. I still don't know what it is that he does. And then you get me an adult film star.
Well, I know that guy. He knows my sister.
Well, isn't that great? What's that got to do with donkeys coming off of Hawaii? And don't tell me it, you know, could impact the career of Donkey Express.
Well, that was my thinking anyway. That's the angle I wanted to take. You know, and I was able to sit down and prep the hour with Mr. Norton. You know,
you were able to sit down and prep the hour. Well, if I'd known you were able to sit down and prep the hour with Mr. Norton, I wouldn't have gave you that much crap.
Thank you. You know.
Yeah, uh-huh. Guess what, bud? It sucked. So.
I thought it was pretty good in light of what we were left with.
In light of what we were left with. Next time I ask you for some cogent and applicable interviews having to do with a topic of interest, then get the guests that I want.
What about me getting Dr. Sandler?
Dr. Sandler was better than Chris Norton, but he wasn't any great deal anyway. And these guys, I'm telling you, you know.
What?
Well, I asked the guy, what are you doing in a tub at his butler? So I mentioned something about the butler. Now this guy thinks that we're calling him gay. And the guy last hour thought we were saying that. All right, we're going to come back here. Lots of stuff to talk about here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The 10 kinkiest cities in America. How about that? Coming up. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Can I put some more hot water in the tub?
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know if we'll have the opportunity to get Margaret Gray on the line to talk about this. But this is a significant story for her and for a great many people that she knows and a great many individuals that she has interviewed in Los Angeles in the entertainment industry. The story is from News Corp. Colonic irrigation, a treatment widely offered in health spas as a natural way to lose weight and detox the body, has no health benefits and can cause dangerous side effects, according to U.S. scientists. Now, the procedure which involved... Do we have her?
Yeah, line two, Ms. Gray. Yeah, this is Bud Dickman. Well, Mr. Henry's going to punt. He's going to punch the button and then... Oh,
Bud, I'll do it, okay? You only got to sit, find out if she's there. Margaret, how are you?
So I'm not doing well, and this news is devastating. It is...
Hold on for a minute. I bet someone to read the story, and...
All of this news that you... This story is devastating for those of us who have long flushed the colon. And so I have flushed the colon with the tube, using, of course, the rectum.
All right. I don't... Can we not be graphic? Do you mind?
Grow up, for God's sake. For God's sake, grow up. This is a procedure that has been used for centuries. And I am devastated because of the people that... This cold that you gave me, Phil.
I'm sorry.
Because of the people that I know and trust, I recommended colonic irrigation to Joan Collins. I recommended colonic irrigation to Lee Majors. I recommended colonic irrigation to William Shatner. Hello?
All right.
Well, no, not all right. Not all right. Because Frank is here. Frank, I have to get something for my cold.
All right.
Frank, how you doing, buddy?
Young man, I'm better than Custer. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Can you give me some background here, Frank?
Well, I don't know. You know, he has been involved in interviewing. I knew Bill Shatner. I knew her when she was on Star Trek.
All right, I got to tell people he has gender confusion, ladies and gentlemen, as the result of an untreated STD.
Who are you talking to?
No one, Frank.
Well, you always do that. You come on, and then you'll say, ladies and gentlemen, she has blah, 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 and I never can hear you. You know?
Where is Margaret?
He's getting some of that codeine off. But the thing... You got a codeine cough. What are you doing, honey?
I have to get the cough then.
Well, it's probably in the downstairs. Maybe it's in the guest bathroom. But I will tell you that he's been involved in getting the tube, you know, putting it, you know, I it was nothing that I ever liked, okay, but he likes it. And I love him. He's my wife, and I'm going to always stick, I shouldn't say this, I don't mean to make a joke, but I'm always going to be behind him. Huh?
Yeah, that's funny, Frank.
No, I'm sorry, but our son, you know, Jason J. Delmonico, she doesn't get it because every time her mother goes out and has a colonic, I have to explain to her that what her mom is doing is something that is good for him. And,
okay, yeah, I understand. So, but do you believe that yourself?
No. I've never given any credence to that. These people are freaks. They're fruits. They're freaks. They're weird asses. I won't let any of them anywhere near me. You understand? Okay.
And well, you're talking about the movie actors, and
no, that's right. I won't let Lee Majors or William Shatner anywhere near me, anywhere near my space, and I mean a good 50 feet in all directions. I don't want either one of them. I don't want Joan Collins. I especially don't want him hanging around me. And any of these people that Margaret has recommended having a colonic to, I won't be around them. I don't want them in my immediate space. I've almost considered putting out a restraining order on anyone that owns a tube that can be put in a, you know. And
well, that's a very interesting comment there. Is Margaret involved in the colonic irrigation world in some abnormal way?
No, he's not involved. What kind of a crack is that?
And well, you're talking about getting a restraining order on anybody with an irrigation tube.
No, what I'm saying is I don't like the people that the colonic irrigation industry attracts. I don't like any of them. I don't want them near me. First of all, can you imagine what's on their hands? God in heaven, please help me. Please help me. When I think of that, I'm almost convinced that I should have done that Jews for Jesus thing. Because
all right, Frank, the story here, lead author Ranit Mishori, a physician at the University of Georgetown.
And I know her. I know her very well.
You know Dr. Mishori, okay? There can be serious consequences for those who engage in colon cleansing, whether they have the procedure done at a spa or they perform it at home. Colon cleansing products in the form of laxatives, teas, powders, and capsules tout benefits that don't exist, huh?
I tried to tell Margaret this. I said, you hang around these weird asses. He hangs around his Dean Wheeler. Do you know who she is?
Yeah, I know Dean Wheeler. Dean Wheeler has a spa in Northern California.
Yeah. So he hangs around with her, and she's always talking to him about having it too. And you know, you want to know why? Well, I don't have to explain why. Because that's how she gets her kicks. You know.
Well, that's pretty sick. If you suspect that,
that's exactly what I suspect. And don't worry, honey.
Frank, I don't want you talking about Dean that way.
Sure. Yeah, whatever you say. I'm telling you right now, this guy Wheeler, the only reason why she gives Margaret colonics is to get her cheap kicks.
Okay, I understand that, but she's...
Well, my wife, he knows what I think. I think that this Wheeler, I think they need to lock that Wheeler away, and I think they need to swallow the key, crap it out, pick it up with a rubber glove, and then put it down the toilet. See, that's what I believe has to be done with Dean Wheeler. And did you get that?
Did I get what?
Oh, my God. You're not even listening to me, are you?
Oh, are you being serious here? I'm listening to...
Yes, I'm being serious. What they ought to do with Wheeler is swallow... Put her in jail. Swallow the key that you lock her cell with. You're with me so far.
Yeah, I heard what you said. And you're telling me that that's a literal process.
Yes.
Swallow the key, crap it out, pick it up with a...
Oh, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Frank, what's going on?
Well, she's laughing at me now.
Look, I gotta go, okay? I just have to go.
Well, my God, haven't we suddenly gotten the big head ever since we found out that Kevin Pollak is interviewing
me on Sunday at 3 on Kevin Pollak's chat show. Yes, that's what's happening. And no, I haven't gotten a big head, okay? It's driving me nuts talking to that guy with everybody. The guys are she's and the women are he's, you know?
Yeah, I never know what to say every time he pick a phone up.
And let's not forget that what he wants to do with Dean Wheeler is not just have Dean put in a cage, but he wants the key swallowed, crapped out, picked up with a rubber glove, and then flushed.
Yeah.
Anyway, colonic irrigation, a treatment widely offered in health spas as a natural way to lose weight and detox the body, has no health benefits and can cause dangerous side effects. The procedure, which involves flushing the colon with water through a tube inserted in the rectum, can lead to nausea, cramping, bloating, and in some extreme cases, renal failure, okay?
What's that mean?
You can't go to the bathroom.
It's kidney failure. It's kidney failure.
No, that's not what renal failure. The renal is...
It's kidney failure, bud. Don't tell me. It's kidney failure. So the things that are being described here are obviously not life-threatening, except the renal failure is. But if you have cramping, if you have nausea, if you have bloating, these are all things that are very uncomfortable. And certainly they're not healthy. They're not healthy conditions to have. But we're not talking about anything that's life-threatening until you get to this renal failure, which, of course, can lead to death. According to a study by Georgetown University, the lead author was Dr. Ranit Mishori, who Frank Gray thought was a man, so Frank referred to Dr. Mishori as her. Well, Dr. Mishori, in point of fact, is a her, so Frank, if Frank had known that, he would have, never mind. So anyway, there can be serious consequences. The report, which looked at 20 previous studies on colonic irrigation published in medical literature over the past decade, said that as well as no evidence of any benefits, the spas and clinics administering the treatment have no significant medical training. Even organizations such as the National Board for Colon Hydrotherapy do not require practitioners to have much more than a high school diploma, the researchers wrote in the Journal of Family Practice. Mishori recommended natural ways to improve well-being, advising health-conscious people to eat a balanced diet, exercise regularly, get 6 to 8 hours of sleep, and see a doctor regularly. Not a holistic doctor, not a homeopathic doctor, not a chiropractor, but go see a medical doctor because those guys will make money on the prescription medicines that they will prescribe. I'm only kidding, but not really.
Well, you say you don't trust this guy?
Oh, no, I trust the guy. I trust him. I think what he's saying is, and what the doctor here is not saying, see, what's the whole point of colon cleansing? It's to get poison. It's to get toxic material out of your body. Well, you do that by you-know-what, yeah?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can't... Sometimes I sit down, it's like tar, you know?
But you don't have to give me a description of it, okay? You eat fiber. You've heard that one, right?
Yeah, I heard about fiber. Maybe she ate fiber.
Of course she eats fiber. She eats healthy. Fiber. And that means leafy green vegetables, for instance. It can mean some bran. It can mean those cereals. You know, what was that... Kashi cereal, bud, that you were eating?
Yeah, it tasted like butt.
It tasted like butt, huh? It's a good thing they're not sponsors of ours. Thanks. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Short, the show, our news and information hour coming up, the 10 kinkiest cities in America.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's Saturday morning, and that means, well, that's good news, isn't it? Saturday morning, that means we are in the final hour of our broadcast, and also that we'll be on tonight on KFI AM 640, and also our video cast at philhenryshow.com, which is what we are transmitting right now, and we do every night at philhenryshow.com. So you can watch, you can listen, to thousands of hours of archives, you can listen to our webisodes, you can listen to our uncensored rants, you can listen to our daily podcast, you can listen to our Classic Phil podcast. We got everything going on there at philhenryshow.com. Now, here is a story called The 10 Kinkiest Cities in America. Well, what does that mean? America's sexual pastimes have long been at odds with our puritanical roots. One such example of sex, for instance, we don't like to see 10-year-old girls as centerfolds in magazines. Isn't that just, it's corny, but, you know.
Yeah, we do.
I'm being facetious.
Oh.
One such example of sexual contradiction is conservative Utah, which was found to be the largest consumer of online pornography a few years ago, according to the Harvard Business School study. Despite America's sometimes shameful misgivings about sex, we can't seem to keep it in our pants. Online travel site Lonely Planet released a guide to where you can let your inner freak flag fly, sexually speaking. Some cities cater to their constituents' wanton needs with festivals, clubs, or plain old randy reputations. Other cities get their sexy on more discreetly thanks to the internet. Whatever you prefer, desire, the following places in no particular order can definitely show you a good time. Now, let's just say here, folks, before we read this list, this rap about Utah. I know a little bit about Utah because we have a very loyal listening audience in Utah. Now, Salt Lake City and the surrounding cities like Park City and some of the ski resorts have got people that love to party. And you know what they are? They're not Mormons, I guess. I don't know how else to say it, because every time I've been to Salt Lake City, every time I've been to Park City, every time I've been to Utah, I've met people that love to have a good time. I've never met anybody with the proverbial cob wedge, man. You know?
Yeah, but you don't know if he's Mormon or if they're one of the fundamentalist Mormons of Warren Jeffs.
Well, Bud, I can tell you right now, I don't think I've ever partied with any of Warren Jeffs' people.
How do you know?
Because none of them had the bun in the head and the whole, you know.
Oh, they weren't dressed like them Amish, you know.
Yeah.
They don't dress like Amish. Why would you insult the Amish like that?
No, I'm not trying to insult the Amish, but isn't that what they look like?
Well, not exactly look like, because there's a difference. They don't have the. I don't think the Amish put a bun up, you know.
I don't think the. I don't. There's a lot of differences. I think that those people in that Warren Jeffs compound are about as freaky a looking bunch of people as I've ever seen in my life. The Amish, on the other hand, look cool to me, you know.
Yeah. What about that one Amish guy? Oh, that was obsessed in that one little girl.
All right, man. So he was a teenager, not a teenager. He was an adult teenager. He was 19, I think, and he got busted. And he was running afoul not only of the laws of society, he was running afoul of the laws of his own Amish community. And he got, okay? That's a far cry from being a member of a cult that is into it, you know? And to answer your stupid question, and I'm way off the track here, no, I wasn't partying with Warren Jeff's people.
Well, but you said the people want to party.
Yeah, the people I met in Utah, which I suspect may not have been Amish. I mean, Amish.
Well, what? The Mormon.
Now, I know that. Mormons. I had a great time. And there are a great many restaurants, and there are a great many cocktail lounges and bars, and they have their way of serving. You're not allowed to. For instance, technically in Utah, you can't buy a shot and you can't get a shot and a beer, okay? Because you can't order two alcoholic beverages at once for one person. You can only order one alcoholic beverage. But I don't find that any weirder, to be honest with you. People are always laying into Salt Lake City, Utah. I don't find that any weirder than counties that are totally dry, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, there's some counties down south, and I think there might even be counties out west. Well, no, I don't think that. See, the West is sort of a reaction to all of that. It's nothing but a bunch of drunks and crazy people have moved out here because they wanted to get away from that. But there are counties in the South where you cannot buy a drink on Sunday. You cannot get a drink. You can't get a beer. You can't buy a beer in a store. You can't buy any booze at all on Sunday.
Well, I mean, that's just because on account of the day that people go to church. That's not weird.
All right. Well, if that's not weird, then it isn't weird to say to a guy, you can buy one drink, not two. You know?
Well, you said you had a Boilermaker, though.
Well, I didn't get. Yeah, I got a. Here's what I did. I got a shot of tequila and I got a Corona. And what I did was, according to the cocktail waitress who was directing me, she said, "Here's what you do," and they have no problem. You know,
she could get arrested for that, though.
No, she can't get arrested. What do they get arrested for?
Contributing. You know, like what do you call it? Contributing?
Contributing to the delinquency of an adult.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway. She said to me, sir, you want to get a beer and you want to get a shot, so order the shot and then say 2 seconds later, I would like the beer. And there you go, because technically that conforms to the law. The law says you can't buy the drinks at the same time. You must get one and then you must stagger the time of the other. So I could say I would like a shot of tequila and then in about 4 seconds.
What's the time? What's the legal allowable time?
I don't know, but she said 2 seconds.
Why'd you say four?
Because what's going to happen if you ask me one more question is I'm going to bust your nose. How about that?
Shut up, man.
You shut up.
Both of you guys. So I said to the lady, I don't know what the time length is, but that's pretty much it. If it's 2 seconds, I said, yeah, give me a shot of tequila, and 4 seconds later, I'd like a Corona beer. And she winked and nodded, and I, you know, I winked and nodded, and the whole thing was a big wink and a nod.
To a blind horse.
To a blind horse, yeah. All right. Here are the kinkiest cities in America in no particular order. So as I read these out to you, they are, and this is according to the Harvard Business School. Is that right? Yeah. Well, it said that Utah was the, this is actually a study that was done by, well, the Harvard Business School. Okay. Roselawn, Indiana. Roselawn, Indiana. Have you ever heard of Roselawn, Indiana? Have you ever been to Roselawn, Indiana?
Not me.
Have you ever dreamt of or imagined yourself in Roselawn, Indiana? I think the answer to that question is a decided no. But not only does Roselawn maintain a thriving and family-friendly nudist resort, the Ponderosa Sun Club also hosts a yearly pageant called Nudes a Poppin'. Boy, I wonder what that means.
Nudes a poppin'. Yeah, I'm sure. I'll bet you they're popping.
All right, let me just finish this. MC'd by none other than famed porn star Ron Jeremy. It's not just the strippers and porn stars shaking their money makers on stage and poles that draw thousands to this celebration every year. Erotic dancing, public sex, and of course, exhibitionism abound. Located about 50 miles south of Chicago on 88 acres of rural woodlands, Ponderosa also offers several G-rated recreational activities you never knew would be more awesome naked, like horseshoes, volleyball, and chili cook-offs.
I would never want a chili cook-off if I'm nude and you using any of that bacon fat. Man, that'll burn. Oh, God, it burns.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not going to worry about that because I won't be engaging in any of that anytime soon, and I'm sure that that makes, a number of people very happy. But the point is, I'm a little shocked. It's a nudist colony, and then they launch into this whole thing about public sex. I thought nudist colonies, for the longest time, were trying to play all of that down. I thought they were trying to say, just because we're a nudist colony, we ain't about sex.
Yeah, well, that's bullcrap, because you can't be nude around a girl and she's nude, that you don't want to jump it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, okay, bud, that's you, man. There's some people who are nudists, and they do it for the health. Now, I don't know what that means. What is it? Why is it healthier to be nude? Okay, suntan.
Yeah, get a suntan.
Yeah, you get a suntan, also grow crops, you know.
Grow crops. What do you mean, grow crops?
If you're nude, and it's healthier to be nude in the things of what you do.
Okay, give me an example of how it's healthier to be nude when I'm doing something.
Farming?
Yeah, farming probably be better if you was nude.
Why would farming be better if I was nude?
Because you're helping fertilize.
Yeah, you could also, you know, go out, and I'm not saying you should do it, but if you needed more fertilizer, you're already nude.
Oh, I see. So I couldn't just drop my pants because I'm already nude. It's sort of, you're stretching, man, okay?
No, I swear to God.
No, you guys are, there's no reason being nude is healthier, other than, I guess, you get plenty of sunshine, and you can feel the wind through your you-know-what. And
what?
Your hair. And number two, and this isn't in any particular order, New Orleans, Louisiana. Nolens, a.k.a. the Big Easy, had long had a reputation of debauchery. Of course, Mardi Gras, the infamous pre-Lent Bacchanalian Carnival, has something to do with that. But New Orleans' dirty dealings far exceed the typical girls-gone-wild fair. Over an extended Labor Day weekend, starting the Wednesday prior, New Orleans hosts Southern Decadence. By the way, I worked in New Orleans, okay, and I knew, and I still know, how to say the name of the city properly without sounding like some jackass who, you know, just rolled into town and wants to be a local, okay?
All right.
And it was New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. It wasn't New Orleans. It's not Nolens. Nolens is pure local. But if you're a person from out of town, you say New Orleans. So you say the new, properly, Orleans, O-R-L-I-N-S.
New Orleans.
Yes, bud.
I said nude, sorry. Nude.
You say a nude, man. You got a one-track mind, man.
Hold on. Nurer. There.
Nurer.
Yeah. Either way, I'm going to say nude.
Yeah, because you're so thick, Jack. New Orleans, that's how you say it. It's the that's the proper pronunciation. If you're from the north or not from the city and you want to pronounce it so that you pronounce it properly, say New Orleans. If you're local, obviously you have a accent. And, you know, if you're not local and you're going Nolens, everyone's going to know you're a jackass. All right. All right, so we'll have some more of these cities for you guys. Well, I can tell you. Las Vegas, Hurley, Wisconsin, Atlanta, New York City, Austin, Texas, Southern New Mexico, Southern West Virginia. Ho-ho! Are you kidding?
Southern West Virginia?
Yeah. Chicago, Illinois, and you got it, San Francisco. L.A. ain't even, don't even make, L.A. don't even make the list. All right. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And more news and more views and more of Bud and me and Robert in our News and Information Hour. Coming up.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. This isn't just talk radio. This is an event. This is history-making. This, well, this is this.
Yeah.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, and of course the website, philhenryshow.com, where right now we have live streaming video of our show. And I had to get, I keep a couple of, here in the studio, I keep a couple of channels lit, as they say. I keep a couple of channels on that I watch. Generally, I have on C-SPAN, which is real sexy, not, and I have on the ID Discovery, which has a lot of crime shows and stuff, but I... For whatever reason, ID Discovery was running something tonight that made me want to puke, so I got that. I got rid of that. And I flipped it over to History International, and they had that Tunguska thing that I've been telling you guys about.
The meteorite.
Yeah, in 1908. And it's a really fascinating story about this event that took place in the forests of Russia in the Tsarist Russian era in 1908. So it would be 10 full years before the Bolshevik Revolution. And, you know, Russia at that time was going through profound social changes. There was a world war that was going to break out. There was epidemic starvation. A type of system that was existing in Russia at that time was well behind what the rest of the world was dealing with. The Tsar was intractable. It was just a terrible time to be a Russian. Terrible time. If there's ever been a really good time, that wasn't it. And in the middle of all of this, you know...
Yeah, these guys are like, you're all they're trying to do is water a yak.
Okay, smartass. But you're right. All they want to do is water their yak. Yeah. And in the middle of all of that, while these poor people in the middle of this forest, way deep in the middle of this forest in Siberia, where very few people are, comes an event which they now believe was a meteorite, but not just any old meteorite, some kind of a meteorite. And they have descriptions. There are comets. There are meteorites. Then there was a type of meteorite that was shaped in such a way that as it entered the atmosphere... And as it approached the Earth, it became, in substance, more unstable. So that the mass of matter that was this meteorite that had survived coming through the Earth's atmosphere and was now literally only a few miles off of the literal terra firma of Earth, it explodes. Okay?
No, it doesn't hit the Earth.
Did not hit the Earth. Now, this is a theory. But it is one that more and more scientists are embracing because there's no evidence of any comet. And I think that there is some kind of chemical evidence. Water, for one. Comets are comprised of ice. But this meteorite exploded somewhere above the surface of the Earth, did not leave a crater because it hadn't hit the Earth. Instead, what it did was flatten, and I'm telling you, thousands of square miles, I believe, of forest, of trees, big trees. Just bam, knocked them down, man, like they were matchsticks for hundreds of miles around. Now, this happens in 1908. What don't we have in 1908? Well, one thing we ain't got, baby, is TV. We don't have radio. There is telegraph service, but it damn sure wasn't out in the middle of Siberia. We did have some rudimentary kind of seismic equipment that had been in use maybe during the time of the San Francisco earthquake, which took place 2 years before. And I believe that this was registered on this seismic equipment. So there isn't really much to go on, and nobody really takes note because there's too much other stuff going on. Just, you know, a few tribal Russians come out of this forest with their eyeballs bugged out of their head saying, "This is not this shit. I don't care, man. Okay, I could care less. Okay, right? You know what? Do you want the watch or don't you? Do this thing about that. You know, so you don't want the watch? Get out of here. Get out of my face." So,
probably some guy trying to sell a watch, and this guy's babbling on about exposing everything.
I'm kidding about selling a watch, but you know. So they didn't know what the hell. What is he saying about that? Well, you know, and so gradually more and more stories. Now the war happens, and the Russians go through a revolution. And by the 20s, I believe, or maybe I'm getting the date wrong, finally some scientist says, "Well, something happened out there." And, "Well, what do you think?" "I don't know, but we got to go and look. We wouldn't be scientists if we didn't go and look." "Well, all we have are a couple of people." "Yeah, but there's a lot of them are saying there was a light and there was an explosion. You know as well as I do that something was recorded. Let's go." And so this doctor, this scientist, spent the next, I don't know how many decades, going back again and again and again, taking all kinds of readings, bringing them back to Moscow, presenting them to the, to the panel of eminent scientists. The material is going worldwide. What the hell is this? Photograph after photograph. Now they start checking the water. Now they start checking the soil. Oh, my God, look at this place. It's devastated. And to this day, folks, to this day, and you have to understand, this area has been studied. It hasn't been roped off. It hasn't been, I believe the Russians, and you know, the communists ran a very close society, but eventually they did allow in, I believe, scientists from Europe. So, and it was material that they did share with the world. So they studied this place big time, man. You know.
They never find out what happened to it, but it wasn't no nuclear bomber. It's like an outer space.
Oh, it wasn't from, yeah, it was from, it wasn't Martians blowing off a freaking A-bomb.
You don't know it. The Martians want to test out a new bomb.
They can test out a bomb on Mars. They don't have to come here. That's what everybody wants to believe. I believe that it was a natural phenomenon what these scientists are now saying, a kind of meteorite.
What do you think of a meteorite?
Well, first of all, there is evidence chemically, or there is evidence of the type of material that they found there that would be consistent with that. The other thing is, they know that there are meteorites that are shaped in such a way that they become more unstable the closer they get to the surface of a planet going through all that atmosphere. Anyway, it's pretty interesting, man. They just had this thing on TV, and while I was talking to you guys, I was actually watching it, so I wasn't doing my job.
Yeah, way to go, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Registered sex offender sues Elk Phil Grove Henry to win the right to live with his parents. That's guts.
For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
That's all I was saying, bud. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, but Mr. Hall's got to hear about it.
Oh, here we go again, man. I can't say one thing to you that you don't go squealing.
Well, I mean, it's very weird, man. Very weird. And he has to call Mr. Hall on it, and we got to get it cleared.
All I said was, Charles Manson, I listened to his music over the past few days, had a good singing voice.
Yeah, but you said he had a good ear, and he would have been a big star. I got to call.
Yeah, go ahead and call, okay? What a baby, man. A freaking crybaby like I've never seen before. Turn that off, will you? Listen to that stuff.
Who the hell is David? Is that you?
Yeah, I just got the word from Dickman. You're talking about Charles Manson being a great artist. I'm sitting here soaking. It's 12:30 at night.
What do you mean you're soaking?
I'm in a bathtub.
You're the second guy tonight that I've been talking to soaking.
That's got nothing to do with it. Don't you make me out to be some member in a Turkish bath someplace or some guy that's waiting in line to sit in the hot water. I heard that you said Charles Manson was a great artist and should be inducted into the, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm getting out of the tub. I gotta make a call.
I didn't say anything about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, that's what Dickman said. Here, let me get some hot water in here. It's cold. When I soak... Now then, you
hung up on Mr. Hall.
Did I really? If he calls back, I don't want to talk to him. Don't you dare put him through. And don't you ever squeal on me again. I'm soaking.
Well, he does soak on... This is Friday night, so I thought it was Saturday night. Generally, he'd take his bath on Saturday night.
Yeah, That's when everybody used to take their baths, on a Saturday night. All right, enough about Charles Manson being a good singer, okay? I won't even bring it up. I won't even mention it. I won't say anything ever again as long as I live.
All right.
Charles Manson was a good singer.
I'm
kidding. Norway, a polar bear has attacked one Briton and has injured four people. Excuse me, folks. A 17-year-old British boy is dead, and four others are severely injured after a polar bear. Good God. Attacked their tents as they took part in a school trip to the Norwegian Arctic archipelago of Svalbard. The five were among a group of 13 from a British school who were at the Von Postbreen Glacier. A statement on the Svalbard governor website said those injured are 16, 17, 27, and 29 years old. They're being flown to a hospital in the northern Norwegian city of Tromsø after initial treatment in another smaller area, a large settlement in Svalbard, situated about 40 kilometers from the glacier. Police are investigating the attack, which occurred early Friday. The eight members of the party who were unharmed are also being cared for. The polar bear has been killed. The United Kingdom's Foreign Office confirmed that a British national had been killed and said relatives of those involved had been informed. A consular team headed by the ambassador and the vice consul are on their way to the scene. A notice posted on the website earlier this year warned of polar bear sightings near this particular area called Longyearbyen. Seeking out or disturbing polar bears is banned under local laws. Jim McNeil, a polar explorer, told ITV News reporters in London that explorers often set tripwires around a camp that will create a disturbance when triggered, alerting everyone to the presence of a bear. He said it is possible that in this instance the tripwire malfunctioned, or the camp had simply been targeted by an enraged bear. Occasionally, very occasionally, you get a bear that is, for whatever reason, in a stinky bad mood, and they're very difficult to deal with. In Svalbard, for example, the locals will shoot three bears on an average a year because of these encounters. McNeil said people should always develop a watch system so that someone is always awake to alert the camp to bears. He added, ultimately, explorers have to rely on good training. Before you go out and you take on Mother Nature, polar bears are top of the food chain. And you must wholly respect that, and you must be knowledgeable about what you're taking on. And,
You don't think they should have shot the bear, do you?
I feel bad. No, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have. I'm saying that they're... it should not have been necessary. It should not have been necessary. I realize that I don't see the point in shooting the bear, unless the animal was acting in an unnatural way. That's not a murder. Do you understand, folks? When a bear kills a human, that's not a murder. That's not a, that wasn't someone robbing a bank. That wasn't a bear that decided to go in and rape and pillage someone's home. That was a bear, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it killed a person.
It killed a person, but it's not a murder. The bear is guilty of murder. The bear knew what it was doing was wrong and it didn't. The bear was doing what bears do under whatever circumstances bears do them. And I just feel bad that they had to destroy the animal. I feel bad that that young man died. I wish that they had been trained better. There must have been some way, and I don't think that I'm acting... seriously, you can go into the wild with the knowledge that we have of animals, especially wild animals. You can go into the wild, and certainly in an area that is inhabited by polar bears, and do things that will keep you safe. Now, this gentleman mentions a watch, you know.
Well, what's that going to do, having a watch?
I'm not talking about the one on the wrist, bud.
Oh.
I'm talking about having somebody stand there and keep an eye on the perimeter of the camp. And then you have someone come in and relieve them and so forth.
the tripwire, this gentleman said, it might have malfunctioned. And I don't know how much time you got between the time you hear the tripwire go off and the bear is in your tent settling down for a midnight snack. I don't know how much time. You look at a story like this, you're thinking, well, I mean, to me, these kids just sort of made mistakes. They made a series of mistakes that probably endangered them. I'm not criticizing. I'm not judging them. I'm not saying it was horrible, terrible. Someone must pay. I don't mean any of that stuff. I mean, I just think it's too bad that the kid got killed and that this animal was also destroyed as a result. When all of this, let's be honest, can be controlled by the humans. You know, I don't know, man. You're sounding more and more like an environmental man. You know?
Yeah, you are. You're not giving a human beings a break at all.
What are you talking about, man? What do you mean I'm sounding like an environmental man? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, that bear killed that kid.
I know that, and that's bad. But like I said, the bear didn't commit a murder. The bear didn't go out one day and say, I think I'll go out and kill somebody, even though I know it's against the law. The bear, we got to separate ourselves from, when we look at animals, we often think of them in terms of human behavior, you know? And the next time somebody goes up there, and I don't think that they, for instance, people say, oh, you know, are you an environmentalist, Henry? No, I'm not. Because if I was an environmentalist, this is the first thing I'd say. I'd say, don't ever let any human beings up there again, which I do not believe. Okay?
What about them kids that got killed up in Alaska and everything?
That one, nobody got killed in Alaska.
Yeah, he did. They got eaten up.
No, they didn't get eaten up, man. That one kid got hurt. Those three kids got hurt. They didn't get eaten up. That was a brown bear. And the same thing. The same thing. I don't want anybody passing any laws telling people can't go on survival training trips or people can't go hiking in those areas. If I was one of those pain in the ass environmentalists, that would be the first thing I'd want to do. I am in favor of training people better when they do go up there. Okay, so when those kids went into the outback, so to speak, when they went into the wild of Alaska and they encounter bears, they have a better way of dealing with that situation. Maybe they're a little bit more aware of somebody's blind turns. I don't know why that bear attacked. Was it protecting its young, or did it see these people as a food source? Because we know that they'll do that too. The polar bear, same thing. You learn, you know. So you don't want to keep people out of there or anything. I don't want to keep people out of there, man. I don't want to see any people get killed, and I damn sure don't want to see any polar bears get killed because it's unnecessary. And it's like killing the bear is like saying the bear did something wrong. No, the bear didn't do anything wrong, and I'm not saying the kids did anything wrong. It was a very, very sad, unfortunate thing. So what you do is you train people better. All right, let's move off of that goofball question, okay?
Well, here's another one that's probably just as good.
But you don't have to shove it in my nose. I got it, okay? Poll finds that Muslims are loyal to the United States and hopeful. That's right. A decade after the September 11th terrorist attacks, a Gallup poll released Tuesday found that the vast majority of Muslim Americans say they're loyal to the United States and they're optimistic about the future, even though they are more likely than any other religious group to say they recently experienced discrimination. How about that, huh?
Well, they could be making that up.
Well, if they're going to make something up, why don't they? They could have said, yeah, we're being treated like crap, you know, and we have just a black vision for the future of America, and this sucks. They didn't. Okay, you think they're making up the fact that they're happy?
Maybe.
Why would they make that up?
Because they want to say they're happy and then blow up the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, boy. Dumb don't even begin with you, man.
Now, that's kind of a far-fetched thing, man. No.
Dumb don't even begin to tell the tale. Maybe they're acting happy, so they'll blow up the Statue of Liberty. And what does that do?
So nobody will suspect them of doing it.
Get out of here, will you? A decade after the September 11th terrorist attacks, a Gallup poll released Tuesday found the vast majority of Muslim Americans say they are loyal to the United States and optimistic about the future, even though they are more likely than other religious groups to say they recently experienced discrimination. Now, these are Muslim Americans born in this country, or they've become citizens, and they are, they're Americans. 9 out of 10 Muslim Americans said that their co-religionists in the United States were not sympathetic to al-Qaeda, the group held responsible for the 2001 attacks. Majorities and other religious groups agreed that Muslim Americans did not sympathize with al-Qaeda, but the percentages are much lower.
Well, right there.
They're talking about idiots that are in other religious groups, not the Muslims themselves. The poll in many ways contradicts the stereotype of Muslim Americans as an alienated and discontented religious minority. It was conducted by telephone from February 10 to March 11, 2010, and August 1 to the 21st, 2010, by the Abu Dhabi Gallup Center, a Gallup-affiliated research group based in the United Arab Emirates.
Wait a minute, man. I want a Gallup poll then.
Why?
It said it's Gallup-affiliated, but not Gallup.
So what, they're lying?
Well, it was Muslims took a poll and everything.
Okay, and they're Muslims taking a poll, and they're really happy, and what does that prove, man? I'm telling you, if they're going to lie, wouldn't they say, get out of here, will you? You're way too paranoid. It's not a completely rosy picture, said Mohammed Yonas, senior analyst for the Gallup Center for Muslim Studies in Washington, and an author. The prejudice and discrimination are definitely there, and that's something we have consistently seen in the data. But at the same time, many of the people in the Muslim American community seem to be doing relatively well. And part of their doing well is being able to be full-fledged Americans to participate in the American experience. The poll found that Muslim Americans were the most likely of any religious group to express confidence in the fairness of elections. The researchers speculated that this might be because of their high levels of support for President Obama, who said early in his term that he would make it a priority to repair those relations. All right, one other thing to say. The U.S. credit. We'll talk about this maybe when we come back. But you guys probably know, those of you listening right now, you probably know the answer already. And Larry Grover gave it early in the show, and I am going to repeat it. The stock market is not going to come back until it sees the United States making an effort at getting its credit rating back. And the only way for the United States to get its credit rating back is to make significant repair and cuts in terms of spending. And that is going to have to be swallowed by the American people, regardless of what you believe is good or groovy or cool. I'm just telling you, we're no longer in a situation where we're talking about ideology and, oh, maybe this works, and maybe that works, and maybe this is your fault, and that's your fault. No, we're well beyond whose fault. We've been screwing around so long with whose fault. We've been messing around so long with conservative and liberal. We've been screwing around so long. And the conservatives are going to take the claim and make the claim that, well, we're the guys that said to cut the budget in the first place. You're also the guys that went on the spending spree, just like the Democrats do. Don't give me that lineup bull. You know, President Reagan, who is, and rightfully so, hailed as a great president, was a big-time deficit spender. So don't give me this bull crap. And don't give me this stuff about how the Republican Party is not about spending. You guys were just as much about spending as anybody else. And because I'm telling the truth, don't do the predictable thing, which is to close your ears and your eyes and just say, well, that's another liberal talking. I don't like liberals any more than anybody else does. But saying that the spending of money is exclusively the problem that the Democrats have and not Republicans, you guys can go ahead and keep talking that way. That's fine, okay? But the country now is in serious trouble. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If you were to ask me, and I know nobody's asked me, I'm going to say it. I think conservatives and liberals together, I think Tea Party people and liberals and progressives together would rather see America go right down the crapper than to change their opinions or their approach at all. I think they'd rather see the country destroyed because they're so lock solid ideologic that they never want to see the other guy's side. They are right. Everyone else is wrong. And they'll stay that way until America is no more. And I believe them to be the biggest threat to this country, the extreme progressive and Tea Party people on either side. And then the second greatest threat are the gutless. I mean, the gutless congressional people that we have today, both Republican and Democrat. Gutless doesn't even begin to tell the story. And I'm talking about Boehner and Pelosi, two of the most gutless wonders I've ever seen in my life. The country is suffering because we have these gutless wonders in Congress. We have extreme elements on either side that are the least patriotic I've ever seen in my life. And we have a president who's just flat wrong. His policies have been wrong. And I admit it. I supported President Obama. I voted for him. Wrong. Stimulus did not work. I don't know how many different ways you can say it.
But don't you Republicans go on talking about how wonderful you guys have been for the whole process when you cats were just as much about spending money we didn't have as anybody else. So don't give me this stuff. Let somebody somewhere, I don't know where it is, I don't know who it is, I don't know when it's going to be, someone somewhere's got to take control of the situation and show some leadership. We haven't seen it from anybody. There's not a one. And I mean these Tea Party jackasses all the way on over to that Pelosi and that Reid. Gutless wonders, every last one of them. Okay? And by the way, my very good friend Mark, well, not my good friend, but Mark Levine, Mark, the Constitution is the law of the land. The Declaration of Independence is not. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. With us is Dr. Jim Sadler has joined us. You had some follow-up, Dr. Sadler, on the, and I guess, are you still in the tub because I'm hearing water?
Say that again, Phil.
You're still in the bathtub?
I'm still soaking, yes. I'm just adding some hot water. I wanted to, and I apologize, Phil. I realize that it's inconvenient to have to hear the running water and everything like that, but I had a very difficult day, and when I do have a difficult day, I like to soak, so I'm soaking.
I understand that you're soaking, yes.
All right, so the story that I've got here on the donkeys, and so I just want to mention, I turned on Mr. Norton's film here, Donkey. No, this is not Donkey Chris. This is Donk Don and the Donkey Express, or Express is what he called. Now, I'm trying to see.
Are you watching that movie now?
Yes, I'm watching a movie called Donk Don and the Donkey Express. You know that one?
No, I don't know that one. No, sir, I don't.
All right, well, it doesn't make me some kind of a pervert that I do. I'm doing some research.
I'm not saying you're a pervert, but I want to know what you want to say about the donkeys.
Well, what I want to say is that they're trying to control the wild donkey population, but I was trying to understand why Mr. Norton was having a difficult time with the sterilization of the dinkies. Not the dinky. What did I call it? Dinky. I got to turn this movie off. Hold on a minute.
Donkeys.
Yeah, but I can't understand what that has to do with this filth that I'm looking at right now. Can you turn that off, please? I don't care if you have to break the TV, turn it off. I don't care. Pick it up and throw it out the window then. I don't want to watch that anymore. Pick it up and throw it out the window if that's what you got to do. You know what I mean by picking it up and throw it? Well, you may be having a hard time, but I want you to pick it up and throw it out of a fill. The problem we're having right here, get rid of it. Good talk. That's right. That's right.
What happened?
I shot it.
You shot your television.
That's right. Because apparently I got a butler here that's about a half of a Q word. I had to shoot it. I shot my own television. And it gave me a great deal of joy to shoot it because Norton was on the... What is that? Is the porn music back?
No, that's not porn. That's the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Look, we'll talk later, okay?
When?
When you get out of the tub. How about that? World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director, of course, Dan Northgraf. And our associate producers, Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. And Dan and Fred and Chris were filling in for Jason tonight out. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is also available at philhenryshow.com for all of our video casts, our merchandise, all of our archive material, our news feed, our podcasts. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. See you guys Monday night for the national show tonight. Our KFI show locally in Los Angeles. Until then, howdy do.
Phil Henry.
Howdy do.